My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us for another week. Just any other episode, just like any other episode that we've ever done. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo, sitting across from me wearing a glistening pair of white Beats headphones. Ben Vanell.
Yeah, not sponsored by Beats, but we are open to endorsements.
Yes. Are they just something else with a B on them?
No, they're Beats.
Don't look like, they look shit.
That's because I've had them for a while.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, almost immediately, like the head, the little padding thing came off.
They look pillowy. They don't normally look like that, do they? They go like over the ear. But you can see like a little pillowy cushion there.
No, well, these are like...
I think you've gotten ripped off, mate.
Well, I paid $300 to be ripped off.
Wow. Huge calls to make in any circumstance, especially given that I haven't even introduced you yet.
Our people know who I am.
It's Adam Knox.
You know who I am.
It's Adam Knox, baby.
Yeah, hey.
are they from before Beats kind of became cool again? Apple bought them, and I feel like they came out and everyone was like, oh, these are the new expensive headphones.
Yeah.
And then they sort of, and then everyone had them because you could get them, they became like the big knockoff thing in Thailand.
Yeah.
So everyone had a fake pair, and so they became a bit kind of shit.
Yeah.
But then now they basically are Apple, and I feel like now that gave them a bit of a boost of extra cred.
They're no good, right? Or like at least now, I don't know if those ones are, but...
These are okay, but they're not better than a pair of $60 headphones I got 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I will say I have a pair of wireless noise cancelling ones that I really shopped around for. Like I went into Bose and I like tried on a whole bunch of different ones.
Yeah.
And they were by far the best. The Beats were by far the best.
I've heard that they use an equalizer. That basically they have like a built-in equalizer setting and that's what makes them sound like they're better in quotation marks than others.
Right.
But it's especially with Apple products, it automatically does that. So other brands, it's just about equalization rather than anything to do with the headphones.
Yeah.
I don't know this. Also, the moon landing didn't really happen. Did you know that?
I don't know. Yeah, I just went into – I went to a couple of shops where they just let you sit there and listen and I like played the same album – a big bunch of it on both of them.
Yep.
Tame Impala's last album, which for the audiophiles out there is a really good way of testing, like being able to hear all the little things in the background.
Mm-hmm. All right. And take that, all your audiophiles, you FLAC files.
Yeah, you MP3 motherfuckers.
Og Vorbis.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I listened to the Tame Impala album, but a 96 kilobytes MP3 rip that I downloaded off, and it sounded fucking crisp.
I used to genuinely for like... How when would this have been? 2002, three? There was some website
I was 16.
That had like, I was what, 13? And so I would download, and I downloaded a bunch of them. It was this website that had like preview files of the songs that you could buy. And it was the full song, but it was at like 28 kilobytes.
Oh, right.
Yes. And nice so little real player file.
I had CDs burned of like all these Beatles albums going like.
Oh no.
And it was, that's how I listened to music for like 6 months.
Oh, this Jesus. Is an amazing new piece of the Knox puzzle. His shit house bootleg CD collection.
It sounded like Nine Inch Nails covers of every song. You know, like just this industrial noise. And it was, I think it changed me.
That was when it happened.
Yeah.
That was when you went through menopause. Cool. Listen to that file for the first time. So I've got a bit of big news in the video games world. I finally did it. The absolute stones on this madman. I went down to JB Hi-Fi and I've pre-ordered a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
I am the band on the deck of the Titanic at this point. I just, you know, and I feel good about it now. I'm like, you know what? If we're going down, I want to be in from day one. Like, I'm sort of reveling in how fucked it could be.
Oh, dear.
The band were on the Titanic 3 months before it even launched.
I was
going
to say, yeah. Like,
how are you the band from, they're the last to be on.
You're the guy who... I've bought my tuba,
right,
and I'm packing it ready to get on board the Titanic.
Hope that tuba floats.
I know, you're like a guy who bet that the Titanic would make it. Wouldn't sink, I reckon.
Yeah, interesting.
Except maybe someone whispered in your ear, it's probably going to sink.
And also you sort of knew it was going to sink, but you were okay with that and thought you deserved it or whatever weird mental thing is going on with you. But
can't wait to play Zelda.
did you pre-order anything else with it? Or
look, I pre-ordered that and I pre-ordered Zelda. I think, I don't know, here's what I'm thinking I might do for the sake of this content for this show. I'm thinking on the day I may get 1-2 Switch as well, because I'd be interested to take it round to my parents' house, who even Wii Sports was too complicated for them.
Yeah.
And I would be interested to spend an afternoon with them, showing them how it works, playing it with them, getting them to play. I think that would be an interesting review for this show.
Yes.
Go on, Mum, milk a cow.
I think that's what they're trying to do with – they're trying to go further into that this is for everyone than they did with Wii Sports.
Yeah.
So I think purely for the sake of being able to talk about it on the show, I might pick that up just as a test and then immediately sell it the day after.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, we'd have shit to talk about on the show if you like fell down a flight of stairs and hurt yourself though. You know what I mean?
Would we?
Yeah, we'd probably mention it.
Yeah.
We'd mention it.
Because you'd have your jaw wired shut. You'd be going like, good morning, video games. Welcome, everybody. It sounded like you were at 20 kilobytes.
So, and this is you trying to convince me to not buy 1-2 Switch. What is your point here?
I'm saying
you're saying life sometimes throws you a curveball.
Yeah.
But if I didn't fall down the stairs, we'd have nothing to talk about. So therefore, it's better for me to have fallen down the stairs.
Yeah. So
therefore,
butter
it's
up
better
those
for
feet.
Me to buy 1-2 Switch.
Yeah.
Look, if I fall down the stairs on the way to JB Hi-Fi to buy it, then I won't worry about it. I'll save myself the $70. But assuming my jaw remains unwired, I can afford it.
All right.
I was talking to a friend about it and saying that it's so, like, video games are already very much a luxury item.
Yeah.
Isn't this just the peak of first world privilege? Like, not only can we afford video games, we can afford to go in day one on a system when it's at its most expensive.
Yeah.
A system that we don't even have complete confidence in.
Yeah.
And now buy a game that you know you kind of don't want.
That will appear. Imagine, like, the EB Games pre-owned section is going to be full of 1-2 Switches.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What do you reckon the resale value on that's going to, you know, there's certain games that
$1 or $2.
Yeah, no one trades in, like, Smash Brothers, for example.
Yeah.
You get it and you keep playing it with your friends and stuff, but then there's certain things. Yeah. Yeah, Wii Sports, when everyone was just like, oh, man, I need a couple of quick bucks. What did you give me for this? Oh, 3 cents. That's cool.
Yeah. Fuck. It's actually not worth our time to take it off of you. Because, like, you
owe me money now. Yeah.
Well, did you see they released a bunch of new trailers for the minigames in it? One of which is, did you see this? A crying baby minigame is in it where you
fucking finally. Do you just shake the controller really hard?
See it?
No. Yeah, do you really?
Well, you cradle it, yes.
Oh, okay.
You have to leave it in a hot car out the back of the pokies.
You put it in the microwave because you just can't take it anymore.
Is that going to be the thing that breaks all the screens? Because, like, you know, with the Wii, it was the tennis and the remote's coming flying off. It's going to be just like decking the screen with the baby on it. So it's basically you have it in handheld mode and you have to cradle it, and then in the video it's like the lady kind of puts it down in a cot. I don't think, look, I dare say you don't need to have an actual cot in your house.
I don't know, man.
I pre-ordered one, so.
Who knows, maybe that HD rumble, maybe it can tell.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe Nintendo are in cahoots with Baby Bunting.
Fuck yeah, it's got to be a soft blanket, $69.95 from EB Games.
But it's got a, like, oh, Yoshi pattern. I'll get two of them then.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
That's the problem with it.
But it's like you, and I was talking about this with friend of the show, Andrew Levins, and I was saying, who is this minigame for? Because I don't want kids. That's like the idea of...
It's not
even simulating a kid seems like a fucking nightmare to me.
And he's got kids.
He has kids. He's like, I play video games as an escape from this.
Yeah, fuck.
He's going to wake up and he's going to have sent the Switch to school one day. And he's going to be hammering on his kid, yeah. Just trying to push his nose to, I don't know, do yeah. some video game thing.
I can't wait for his Instagram to just become cute videos of his Switch.
His Switch calling you an egg.
I think, again, it's so weird. It's like them trying to like, no, okay, guys, look, we've held off on some of these games that are in 1-2 Switch. Yeah. We know you're dying to see. Here's a little taste of what you'll be getting on March 3. Fuck. These are all worse.
Yeah.
This is doing a worse job of selling it.
I didn't see this trailer. What else was in it?
Oh, fuck, what else was there?
The telephone thing.
What's a telephone
Which
thing?
Is where you put the
You answer the phone. Like, literally.
Really, it rings or whatever, and yes. you pick it up and go like, hello, I'm a fucking idiot with a dumb thing
I'm
to my head.
I'm pretty sure that is what it is,
it's
right?
It's pretty much you're both sitting there and you both put your Joy-Con on the table and then they both ring in the first one to pick it up and answer it.
Oh, okay. You're a pair of actors and they're only going to give the role to one. But you see, if you have that like...
No, it's like a radio phone competition.
Oh, yeah. I wake up with today.
KBBL, I love the radio.
Yeah.
I sucked off the cash cow. Wait, what are you meant to say?
I milked him earlier.
The other one is like a samurai thing which could be cool.
Wizard. Wizard is the new
Wizards,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Where it's like, you know, you use it like a wand. And
which was in the Super Bowl trailer.
So you cast so you just sort of like do a whip motion?
I think so. Again, it's like one person like does one motion, the other person does another motion, and they're one of them slightly better. It's like the gun
these
thing.
All sounds so fucking boring.
There's no game to it.
I think... I get the impression that this one maybe makes use of a little infrared thing in it that can tell how far away things are.
Yeah,
so
right.
So you have to keep them perfectly aimed at each other.
Yeah.
Which again...
Fucking, how is that a game?
I don't know. Yeah. Look, I don't know. We'll know. We'll know pretty soon.
Yeah.
In like 2 weeks or something.
I am actually... I'm looking forward to... Well... I'll talk about this with you off air.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I killed a guy the other day.
Yeah, it's a state secret.
If this is about the Switch or video games in any way, I dare say... You should talk about it on air.
I'll say it. You may need to cut this out. We should film that and have that be the first thing we put on YouTube, us playing the Switch.
Oh, okay,
us
sure.
Us playing 1-2 Switch. Yeah. You can see why I might not have wanted to say that.
I think it's a good sizzle for the listeners to go subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah, I know, but now we're fucking committed and I hate commitment. It's the day after Valentine's Day.
We're working on video content.
And I dumped all my girls. off yeah, I mean, at Crash.
I think it'll be... I mean, we can spend an afternoon fucking around with it.
Yeah.
I actually genuinely am interested to go around to a bunch of people who don't play games and just see does this achieve the message or do even people who don't play games go, this is dumb and I don't like it?
Yeah.
I think they're more likely to, if anything.
Yeah,
because, like,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also just announced this morning on the day that we're recording this. This is rare for us. A big piece of news breaking a couple of hours before we come in to do this. This is the first time this has ever happened.
Yeah. Now, have we all read a news story about it?
Yes.
What are we talking about? Which I genuinely don't remember. Which
The Legend of Zelda.
Oh, Trump got voted into the White House.
Yeah. What? But he's a reality TV show star.
So Zelda Breath of the Wild, they've announced this morning, is going to have basically their equivalent of a season pass.
Yeah.
What are they calling it? An expansion pass.
Yes.
It's DLC. There's two parts of it that you have to buy together. This is one price for...
Yes.
I think it's like $20 US.
Yeah.
Where in the winter there'll be...
So I've got a list of all the stuff. Do you want
to
hear?
I was just about to say it because I've committed it to memory.
Have you really?
By all means, go ahead.
No. I want to hear your memory version.
I want to hear what's written on your precious little screen.
I want to corroborate.
Honestly, I don't want to hear either.
I picked up the phone first. I have the information.
Go for it. I want to hear. And I'm going to fill in the gaps.
Okay, this can be like the dating game where you tell me how accurate I am.
Yeah, what star sign are you?
In the bum. Okay, so the one that's out in winter is a new dungeon.
Yes.
And a hard mode. A harder difficulty setting.
These things exist in two different ones, but yes.
Oh, okay. Oh. The winter one is like a new challenge mode or something?
Yeah, the winter one is, there's a hard mode, a Cave of Trials challenge.
Right.
Yes, okay.
And additional map feature.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that's very vague.
We didn't include a mini map in the game, so here it is. Like, what?
So the first thing is when the game comes out, it's like three new treasure chests. You get that straight away.
Yeah.
One of them is found in the Great Plateau. Oh, they all are. They contain useful items.
Well, wait. Save this until the end, because let's go into the... Okay. So then the second pack
So the one coming out around Christmas-ish time, holiday 2017, new original story, it says.
Yeah, right. That's that sounds interesting.
To me, that's lead with that. That's the selling point. Yeah. That's the bit that's
impossible,
cool.
Though. There's only seven stories. Boy meets girl.
Hero's journey.
Rags to riches.
Yeah.
new dungeon. So there's a new dungeon for that one.
Yeah. Yep.
And additional challenges.
Yes. Mm. Okay, so the first...
It's so vague.
The winter one kind of sounds like... I don't know why they're... I don't know. It just sounds all very vague. It sounds, seems weird that you have to pay to get just a harder difficulty set.
Like, this surely is Australian winter.
You've completed the game and then you... Most games just have that standard.
Yeah, that's weird. You don't have to pay for new game plus or anything in games. You get that by completing the game.
I just don't know why. Yeah. Because I know... People tend to hate this kind of season pass mentality.
Mm.
And I don't think... I think this is cool in the way that it's not like you're getting an incomplete game. It sounds like this game is going to be fucking huge as it is.
Yes.
And this is just like a cool little bonus. I think it's weird of them to announce it now. I don't know why they don't bring the game out, have people get to know the world and then go, hey, by the way, Christmas time, we're going to bring out a whole new story.
Well, there's stuff that comes with it at launch, I guess, is the reason. Like, there's things that...
So, yeah, here's what I want to go into now.
Right.
Mm. Are you about to read out what I think you're going to read out?
Tommy Dasilo, this is a review of you.
Oh, okay, go.
This comedian,
yes,
and comedian is in air quotes, well, not even air quotes, real quotes, because it's on a page.
Okay.
This comedian made me so wet that you know this is going nowhere.
Yeah, you started. I wanted to test you out. It really took a turn there. So it started out like you were going to bag me. Yeah.
I know, and then I felt bad about it.
If she's,
but then I went way too far and made them really horny over you.
Yeah, if she's really horny over me, then why is comedian in quotation marks? Is it like he wasn't funny at all, but he was so
sexy.
That being said, he was so sexy.
He should be a model, I think, is the point. Yeah.
Like if Fabio did a comedy festival show.
Hey, speaking of which very quickly.
He would call it... Taking it too far, Bio, or something like that, right?
I can't believe it's not comedy.
No, I think I know what it'd be called. What if Fabio real life?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Fabio, is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Far be it from me.
There you go. I'm trying to do the Will Anderson put his name in the thing.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Oh, he called it Willarious. There we go.
I do think that's pretty amazing. A woman in an audience... hating you, thinking you're extremely unfunny, but still being turned on to the point of ejaculation in her seat.
Yeah, women hate funny guys, though. That's just...
Anyway, so, okay, one of the day one things that you can get in one of these bonus chests that appear in the game is Link can wear around a shirt that has the Switch logo on it.
Yeah.
Not into it.
No.
Not into it at all.
Yeah. No. That's, I mean... People pointed out, though, that, like, Nintendo games have often had that sort of stuff in it, you know.
Yeah, but they do
Like what?
Like Nintendo Shirt Simulator 2014.
I must have missed that one.
It's pretty bad.
But they usually do it in kind of a clever, cool little way where it's like, you know, a little villager will be like, oh, here's a little thing I made out of rocks. Yeah. And it's clearly meant to be like, he's talking about it like it's a Game Boy.
Yeah.
And
right.
It's very self-referential.
Okay, in Pokemon, they always have like, oh, I played the Super Nintendo. Oh, well, time better go.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I get
but
it.
But this just, like, it's so, I don't know, like this magical faraway world and he's wearing the logo of the thing you're playing it on.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, but I just...
On the Wii U, does he wear a Wii U t-shirt?
Yeah.
Like, I guess so. Or maybe he wears a Switch one and then like there's a pre-order Link on it.
Fuck.
Oh, pre-order Link. You get it?
Oh, no.
Because his name is Zelda.
But here's the other weird thing about it. I mean, it's so... I mean, I don't like it, but also I have the option of just not using
just ignore
it in the game.
It,
But so this is this big announcement of like if you order it day one, you'll get this. So they think people care about this.
Yeah.
They think people think that's a cool thing to walk around in the game with.
Honestly, I didn't read all the specifics of what they've said will be released, but like usually with DLC, either it's so far in advance that they're announcing it that they're just saying there will be DLC, subscribe to the season pass, or say with Fallout 4, it's boom, here's Far Harbor, a brand new storyline set in another part of, you know, all of that's like it's very specific.
But it took them ages to say that those things with Fallout 4.
Well, yes, exactly. So why a Nintendo... Like, that was just weirdly vague and didn't seem to really sell me on the DLC.
So yeah. Was Fallout 4's originally.
But that's... It was more vague.
It was, yeah, exactly. It was like, yo, there's DLC. And that's kind of what this one is. And then it's essentially got pre-order bonuses.
Right.
So it's... and look,
I just don't get the whole thing of, like, trying to incentivize people to get it day one.
Yeah.
When it's just him wearing a shirt. They keep saying a shirt with the Switch logo on it. Yeah. Like he's a promo girl.
Well, yeah.
Oh, cool. Instead of a horse, you can drive around one of those fucking Red Bull cars with the giant can on the back.
Yeah.
Like, why not? If it was like you unlock his robes from Ocarina of Time, you know? Mm. Cool. People would be into that.
Buy him dinner first, huh? Before you unlock his robes, huh?
Objectively the best robes of all time, from what,
and
what I've heard.
The 3DS robes only improved upon that.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. I think the way they've kind of presented this is very weird and has left them open to copping flack.
Mm,
but
yeah.
I think when you analyze it, like, I think that's, and again, this is stuff that they've never traditionally done. I think that's awesome that at the end of the year, once you've sort of spent so much time in this world and you've probably completed it and you've thrashed it out, you get to have this whole other little experience with it.
Then afterwards you
play
Zelda.
Yeah, I mean,
happy Valentine's Day. I think that's cool. They never do that.
To be fair,
I think that's awesome.
Like, with such a lackluster launch lineup in terms of the amount of games, new content is great.
Yes.
Like,
and I just don't think they should be leading with coming up and eventually there'll be a new story in it and a bunch of other stuff that we're just throwing
in. But the only reason this seems, I think, so putrid to you is, and you are making it sound putrid, is because it's a Zelda game and this is so typical of every DLC thing that it has ever been made, that it's... You know, you get more stunned by it when you see it on something that you weren't expecting to see it on.
Sure, yeah.
It's certainly
Nintendo's image to be like, day one, you get one new sword. Like, basically any time you buy a game, a PS4 game now, it's like, day one DLC, here's a hat.
Totally.
I remember playing through Bioshock Infinite and being pissed off that my guns were gold the whole time.
Yeah, me too.
Because I bought the game on the first day.
Yeah.
That was really annoying and looked shitty.
The guns were better, so it was like, I want to play the game on a normal difficulty. I don't want a leg up. I don't want that, which is what day one deals.
Over.
Well, and these three, like,
chests, Valentine's Day.
The chests and shit that they're saying you'll get, and with useful items and stuff, it sounds like that same thing of like, here's an invincible sword, you fucking baby.
Yes.
Yeah. Walk around and, you know, do this. Go to sleep. Cradle it.
The whole thing of, and also the Wolf Link amiibo, which you can use in this game, and if you've used it in Twilight Princess on the Wii U, your hearts or something carry over.
Right.
So you can use the Wolf Link amiibo and the trailer for it, it's just, he just shows up. This wolf just shows up and starts following you around. And I think that's cool in theory, but I just don't like the kind of bastardizing of the world. Like, it's got to be explained in some way. Like, it's such a pure, well-crafted universe. Like, I love the storytelling in those games.
Yeah.
I just totally buy in that I don't like this commercialization of just touching a thing and it's like, oh, we want you to buy the toy, so... fuck it, now you're just invincible.
Yes.
Like, explain it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If it was something where you go to a little store and, you know, you plug an amiibo and the guy has different stuff in his store, then whatever, cool, fine. Yeah. But just, it honestly looks like as soon as you scan the amiibo, a wolf just appears in the game next to you.
Yeah.
With no context given and no explanation.
But that's how all this stuff always happens.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, on PS4, it's like, oh, you'll be in the game or in the game menu or something and it's like, oh, hit this, you go to the PS store, like it literally takes you out of the game. You watch something download and then
Weirdly, I was looking at, because Nintendo, you were talking about the Mario Kart DLC before we started and that was pretty good. But Nintendo doesn't have a great track because all the Smash Brothers DLC was fucking crazy priced.
Yeah.
That was weird. They spaced that out a lot and it was like, you had to pay per character and per level.
It was like, you know, pretty expensive to get these dumb shirts and shit for the Mii fighters.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, though, you have the option of just not doing it.
I know, but I don't like that argument.
There's the completionist in you that feels like, well, exactly. I want to kind of have the whole game,
but also,
going to use this character.
Hey, man, just never go in this room. It's your house.
Exactly.
But you have the option of never going in this room.
If a game's bad, we could talk about why it's bad or just like ignore it. At one point you got to buy in and discuss something.
The Mario Kart one was done perfectly where it was just like two packs, that they staggered. Sure.
I was more into Biggie's.
Fuck, I was really hoping you wouldn't.
Two separate
I'm going to keep doing it.
The number of times on this show where I say something and I realize I just see your face light up and I'm like, please don't.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
So anyway, the other day I was talking to my wife and the Mario Kart 8 one, because that was like the first time they'd ever done it and I was like, this is perfect. Like this is just flat fee and you get new characters and tracks just all in the thing and they staggered it out perfectly, I thought. But then, this kind of weird way of doing it, who knows. Here's one weird thing though. I kind of like how at the moment in terms of them announcing news, they are just absolutely playing by their own rules. Like they just announced this with a fucking YouTube video out of the blue.
Yep.
And then a few days ago they announced they did this for the first one, a Splatoon 2 demo.
Oh yeah.
Which is basically
it's like a free it's like a beta, I guess.
It's
like
a beta. It's just them testing it out. Yeah. And so that's happening on March the 27th, which I think is good timing to have like a, you know, the system will only have been out for like 3 weeks or something. Mm. It's good timing to be like, oh, hey, you'll be able to play the new Splatoon over a weekend.
Yeah.
But they just announced that over a weekend.
Yeah.
Who does that? Yeah. Like no press outlets are open. You know what I mean? Like such a weird thing for them to just drop this information whenever they feel like it.
It is like they want to create their own little weird ecosystem where it's like if you like Nintendo, you have to subscribe to our YouTube. You have to follow us on Twitter. Yeah. You have to – like we are your source of information, not IGN or whatever.
I mean, that's smart though. That's the way
– It is,
like,
The Switch is out in like –
Get your information from the White House. It's the only believable source. Yeah. You can't get it from any outside.
The Switch is out in like 16
CNN is just
days or
fake news.
Yeah, Kotaku's fake news. Sad.
They've still said nothing about the virtual console, which it's just over two. And there's still rumour that there's going to be a little, again, one of these little videos will just go up in the middle of the night, not even on their fucking channel.
Yeah.
They'll just farm it out to some.
Everyone with a
fucking
Switch.
Skyrider will just announce their plans in the sky over Tokyo.
Yeah.
Every fortune cookie one day will just say.
Which is crazy that you've got this platform ready to go. Why wouldn't you be trumpeting, hey, day one, you can download all these games on the virtual console?
It seems like they're shooting it out the door a little early. To me is why it seems like there's all this stuff that everything else is launched with that it seems to lack.
Well, so that's kind of how this DLC announcement made me feel. It's similar to like the online stuff or all of this stuff which is normal for the Xbox and PS4 and Nintendo were trying to get into and kind of catch up with.
Yeah,
it all seems to be a little bit poorly handled.
Sure, I agree, but then the other side of it is in 8 months when this is all done and it's up and running, well then it doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? Like the way it got rolled out doesn't really matter once it's up and running, if it works. If people are loving playing Splatoon and Mario Kart Online, if the DLC extra story is really cool and worth going in on and brings extra life into
but
the
that,
game.
But that if it works is such a big caveat because like plenty of stuff they've tried to ape off of other people before hasn't worked as well, you know? Like
totally.
All the online stuff they have, the fact that you need to have a fucking separate app on your phone.
Well, that's what I mean,
and it feels like someone coming along and like... 10 years, like saying a meme in real life, that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
No, I don't care about the app thing. I don't see why people mind. You
it's
have
just
your phone
clumsy.
On you at all times
clumsy.
Anyway.
Yeah, I know, but even that thing with Fallout 4, you know, like technically it's more convenient, but it just feels clumsy.
I wouldn't mind betting that is something to do with if you've got it in, so voice chat and everything goes through the app.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind betting that's something to do with if you've got the Switch in handheld mode. All that voice chat and stuff, if you're online, is going to drain battery more quickly.
Maybe. I
wouldn't mind betting that's a way of getting around that.
I'd imagine it's probably closer to their child-focused thing.
That would be a part of it,
sure.
Yeah, because that's why they've done friend codes and shit in the past, is so people aren't interacting with strangers.
I think that the phone thing would be, if you had all that shit running through... It's already only got about 3 hours.
Maybe
battery
phone
life
batteries.
As it is.
Hey, they're notoriously good.
Well, that's
fantastic.
My thing. Like, if your phone has a game open or an app open that's active while you're like, it's gonna drain the fuck out of the battery. Like, my phone dies like in half a day as it is.
And
like,
now I've got two fucking things plugged in sitting next to me.
Yeah.
Like,
well, their problem is that it's not the way anyone else does it, so don't do it that way.
But that's a really good thing about having an Xbox is Xbox Live works pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty, and you do have to pay for it, but then you get these free games all the time that kind of make it worthwhile. And
yeah, that's how I feel about the PS Plus.
Yeah. And with Xbox Live, you're where everybody is as well, you know?
Yeah.
It's where everybody's playing video games these days. Xbox Live, fucking Deadwood.
But like, yeah, with the PlayStation, like, you just plug a headset into your controller and...
That's it.
Like, that's all it is. So, yeah. I don't know.
Who knows? I mean, I'm sure the capacity is there for them to, you know, change it and revise it if it absolutely doesn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, like, if it's
that's
like...
That's been Nintendo's MO in the past. Hey, this isn't working. Let's update it really quickly.
Yeah.
But it could be, they could just be, like, they release an app on the Switch that does it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay, so what else do we have to talk about? E3 is open to the public this year.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of disappointed people out there who are paying a lot of money to just line up for hours on end.
Yeah.
Totally, That is a spooky thing about it. Like, all the real stuff.
Spooky.
It's terrifying.
It's spooking his ass off.
Boogity boogity. I think E3 is probably way better experienced.
Yes.
Watching it at home.
Yeah, totally.
Watching those press conferences, which is where everything happens anyway.
Yeah,
I've seen a few, like, kind of in like websites and stuff kind of tweeting going, just so you know, if you're one of these people that is from the public that is stoked to be getting a ticket, you don't get to go into all the conferences and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to watch Nintendo announcing Metroid or whatever it is. So just be aware of that.
Yeah.
It's actually just a shitload of lining up.
Yep.
Which... I don't know. I would love to go to E3, but I would love to go in a way where, like, through this or something, like, through, in some official capacity, the idea of just being able to buy...
Out of the way, everybody. I'm from Filthy Casuals.
Which one?
Yeah. The clothing brand or the 7 podcasts?
Oh, the Warhammer podcast? The idea of just being able to go and buy a ticket to, just seems...
Have you been to Comic-Con?
No.
Have you been to Comic-Con?
No.
Have I been to Comic-Con?
It sounds like you want to talk about the time you went to Comic-Con.
No, I haven't. Oh. But the idea of it to me is, and I get like a lot of the best stuff out of it by watching the trailers and shit online.
Yeah, true.
But I also imagine there is a lot of value to the public.
And people are going to that to literally trade things and to get signatures and to dress up and all that shit.
Yeah,
that's a different thing.
I feel like
and the live shows and stuff that they do would be
exactly
really
same as PAX. I was going to say PAX, you get to see all of that shit, was actually really cool.
But what I think is weird about E3, you suddenly being able to go, it's like they have things set up that are the punter's version.
And sick, you'll get to play Red Dead 3 months before it launches.
Yes.
Who gives a shit?
And I feel like, the people who are going to or the punters who are buying tickets to E3 probably assume it's Comic-Con, but it's not.
Yeah.
But if it's going to be open to the public, maybe they are refocusing it to be something like that because you'd have to assume.
Mm.
If it's the same way it's always been, where it seems like even the journalists who go think it sucks.
Yeah.
Like, and then just add 5,000 more people into that mix.
Yeah.
You got yourself a riot.
It's hard not to look at it as just like a dodgy cash grab.
Exactly, totally.
I wouldn't mind betting that.
Some advertisers pulled out, they need to cover costs.
There'll be some people very upset at the end of it, I think. I wouldn't mind betting that they don't do it again, maybe.
Mm. Yeah. Do you reckon this means the return of the booth babe? Do you remember how every magazine in the 90s...
Did they get rid of booths? And thank you for calling me babe.
Leslie Nielsen making his debut on Filthy Casuals.
Wow, you're fucking annoying and loving it.
So what did I interrupt?
That really rattled him.
I know. It's broken my thought process.
It's audacious comedy. I'll give it that.
What do you mean your name's Shirley? I don't understand at all. audacious comedy.
It's one of those words.
Yeah. Fuck was I saying? Oh, yeah, booth babes. They don't have them anymore, but I bet that if this is a cash grab, I can just see them being like, oh, cool, the fucking woman dressed as Skyrim stand there for 12 hours getting paid $40
It'll be in the name of cosplay, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the shit, is that it's cosplay now, but it's the same people that they're hiring for the same reasons, just under a different brand, and it's very odd.
Mm.
I remember when I was in high school, I would get... the official Nintendo magazine
yep.
every month, which was a very reputable news source.
Yes.
Now, that was fake news.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Zelda's got a perfect 10.
Yeah. Well, Metro Prime got 110.
And then I would also get Hyper just to kind of keep it
objective. Yeah. Hyper was fucking sick.
Yeah,
Hyper was
cool. Yeah.
But it was funny because, like, just the differences in their E3 coverage where, like, the Nintendo magazine would be like, there's a new Mario coming out, and it'd just be like a four-page spread of every, like, just frame by frame of the trailer that they showed off. And then Hyper would be like, check out the booth babes.
Yeah, I know, totally.
Hyper, the Ralph of video game magazines.
And it was always
check out this slut dressed as Chun-Li. Yeah.
Is this journalism? Every time they took photos of these booth babes as well, it was always from a bit of a distance.
Yes.
And there were always like seven other fucking people with lanyards, like bald men with lanyards around their thing, taking photos of them too.
Zoomed way in to make it look like it's very close.
Yeah.
Why is this camera so blurry?
Oh, God, that must be an awful job.
Mm. Is Hyper still going?
It is, but it's a quarterly magazine now
that
mainly focuses on essays.
Oh, yeah.
I only ever read video game magazines now when I'm in an airport with heaps of time to kill, and I'll go to the newsagent and just go. It amazes me. That's the one piece of print media that I cannot believe is still going.
Totally.
It has to be the most obsolete form of, say what you will about any other form of, you know, magazine.
Mm.
Even film, there's still, I guess, writing about just having the stills from the movie in a glossy thing is kind of cool.
Yep.
But like waiting fucking a month to get a write-up of a trailer that you can't even see in its entirety when you read it in a magazine, I do not get it.
Mm.
Totally. And like they used to, back in the day, video game magazines were really, but then at the same time, like they had all those, especially Nintendo 64 ones, would be that thing that you were saying about where they would be like, Perfect Dark got 101%.
Yeah.
And I totally bought into that shit when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Because I was Perfect Dark's a perfect game.
Yeah. Right.
It's got perfect right in the name.
Yeah.
I remember, but also they used to always run letters in the letters page where people would write in and go, sorry guys, big fan of the magazine, but I'm going to have to call bullshit. Like there'd be this like self-prescribed deep throat of the letters page of official Nintendo magazine. I've noticed the word official on the cover here, which has led me to believe that you might be in the back pocket of Nintendo. And as such, I think it's highly possible that your reviews are not coming from a place of subjectivity and like and
love always, Julian Assange.
But they would run one of these every month, and they'd always be defending themselves, going, "No, look, I know what it looks like, but trust us, we do. We speak from the heart, and we're not just giving good scores to everything."
Yeah, you can see that based in our 97% review of Jet Force Gemini.
Yeah, like, Beetle Adventure Racing. They've done it again, an absolute masterpiece.
Turok 3. Can you? It only improved upon perfection. But
well, that's what I remember. I remember they gave Turok 2 a perfect score.
Did they?
And that was like huge at the time. The letters page the next month went ballistic.
Mm. Yeah.
And yeah, it's hard not to look at that.
See, I used to read PC Power Play, which was a very good magazine, and it also had
little CD-ROM on the front.
Yes,
cover.
And it had fucking heaps of demos and heaps of like useful software.
And that was back when that's like, oh, cool, they've given me 7 months worth of downloading time.
I remember. Well, even the PlayStation mags used to do that. You'd get a little, and that was the thing I was always super jealous of with the Nintendo being cartridge. Yeah. Like, can't they put a little demo cartridge?
Honestly,
and
the demo
cost to them of about $800.
Yeah. Here's our magazine. Take out a mortgage if you want to subscribe.
I did have a subscription to the PlayStation one for a year, and fuck, the demo discs, like,
huge.
It was. I got more time playing them than like the stuff I could actually afford, because it wasn't
that shit
a lot.
Was great. And like, that introduced me to like 90s electronica, because every menu of all of those things was like
Winamp visualizer in the background,
and there'd always be some tie-in to like whatever movie was big at the time.
So it'd
be like X-Men presents the PlayStation 2 magazine
Wipeout.
For this
fuck, so that's what it
Blade
was. It was
2.
Yeah, it was demo discs. And yeah, the PC one was good, because I guess I didn't really know where to go for that kind of information at the time. Like,
oh,
what
totally.
Was it, like 10 years ago?
Man, I remember getting PC magazines that had, a floppy disk.
Yeah,
on the
cover.
Totally. And this shit is back when the internet was like, you kind of had to know the name of the website you wanted to go to.
Totally.
And you maybe type in like www. sex.com.
Well,
I wonder
yeah.
if I'll find anything there.
Yeah.
Fucking.com.
Yeah, good shit. So
how
yeah,
to
I do,
delete
I do
history.com.
I do wonder how much value there is at yeah, at being at E3. I mean, yeah, I guess it would be cool to. I mean, they'll be showing off Mario Odyssey, and that would be
yeah.
pretty sweet.
And I think there's an element of it where, like, if we were to go, it would be fun to have that experience, obviously,
oh, big
and
time.
To like, there's fun stuff you could make through being there.
Yes.
It's honestly a big bucket list thing for me since
totally.
I was a kid, even though it's lost a lot of the shine of what it once was.
Yeah.
Like Nintendo now just sort of don't show up, but it still is there from the back of my head. Like when we went to the Switch event, just knowing 12-year-old me would have creamed his little jeans.
I've been so surprised and confused.
Wait, I'm looking at a version of me in the future, and that's made me come? Am I gay and a huge narcissist?
Wait, what?
Yeah, right. Let's try
let's
and get
on.
To E3.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
And also let's move on, yeah.
Yeah.
What's next?
Well, what have you played, Ben?
For Honor beta, yeah.
Yeah. I played it on PC, on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Used my controller, though. Didn't go the old mouse and keyboard.
I did notice this when I came around the other day. The sweet rig is back.
Yeah, I had to fix it. It was fucked. Mm-hmm. I had to do a whole reformat, reinstall. But it's back.
Isn't she a beaut? Me and Adam are sitting here basking in the glow of...
You've both just creamed your jeans.
Ben's
12-year-old Tommy style.
Ben's little game station. He's got his little Fallout 4 figure in there.
Yes, from Vicky Hanlon, friend of the show, gave that to me.
Nice.
And very nice.
Who gave you the giant flag with the swastika on it that's hanging behind
the monitor? I was going to say a big swastika flag as well.
Joking about people owning a swastika is one of my favourite go-to bits. Like, there's no comeback to it.
This map, you do have a big map on your wall.
Yeah.
And you've crossed out every country other than Germany. What's that about?
No, it came like that. I mean, it's still a map. You can still see the countries.
What's with that little spike on your hat that you're wearing right now?
That's my like a dick that grows out of my head.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah,
what's that wall you're building? And
okay.
Yeah.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Ich bin ein Berliner. Ich bin.
All of human civilization has been building to this moment.
Oh, Nox, that is very good.
Cut everything else out of the episode. Make this episode just go for 12 seconds. Ich bin.
Ich bin. Oh, man.
Oh, we've done it again. Oh, if that doesn't get us to E3, I don't know what will.
Probably the booth babe talk.
Yeah.
Oh, they're allies. Bring them on. Access, Ben.
Yeah,
sorry,
So, For Honor.
What?
For Honor, the beta you've been playing.
Oh, yes. Okay, so it's Ubisoft's new combat game. Mm-hmm. You can be a Viking, a typical like English knight or a samurai.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so the beta is, it starts with the tutorial. It's just one-on-one combat. It's like, the controls are kind of strange. So it's like you hold down R2 and like press the left stick to swing what? Like you modify your swings high, low, you know, top, down, left, right.
Mm-hmm.
You can block. It's, I guess
with
it's...
With the shoulder buttons.
With the shoulder buttons.
And then you're swinging
the,
with a stick.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's sort of like a oh fuck, what's that thing called?
What?
Real life. No. fucking, I want to say Guardians of the Galaxy, but I know it's not that. Like a dual stick shooter. Almost,
yes,
but with a sword.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. That's yes. It's that. It's basically that.
What's that? Geometry Wars. That's what
I
was thinking.
Oh, right. Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the combat is not what I would call natural feeling.
Okay.
You have to learn it, and you have to memorize it, and it is not instinctive. It is
right.
Not like other games.
Because I've heard it compared to more like a fighting game, like Street Fighter or something, than an action game.
I reckon that's a really good comparison. It's
but
a third-person fighting game.
And then you only have three characters to choose. Right. That's a little strange then.
Yeah, I guess
does
that's a good point.
Does it feel complex and there's enough to work with to keep you coming back to it?
Yes. I was very skeptical having just watched the trailers and stuff.
Yeah.
It does feel fun. It feels kind of like Ubisoft's had a go at a Dark Souls game in a way. It's very combat focused.
Cross a fighting game or something.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. It kind of looks and feels a bit like Assassin's Creed purely in terms of visuals.
It's a Ubisoft game. They all fucking do, don't they?
Yes.
Got him.
Yes. But so that is not great. It kind of feels like they've taken Assassin's Creed, whatever, 4 and gone, let's change the combat and make it more complex.
Right, okay.
Okay.
When's the actual full game out?
It's out real soon, like, I think.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I think
something.
The beta is closed off.
Do you like playing betas because it reminds you of yourself?
Well, the entire time I was playing it, the word beta is in the bottom right corner. I was like, when I got hit, I was like, I deserve this.
They're running a closed cuck this weekend.
But yeah,
so fucking sick of that word, by the way.
Weekend. Maybe I live for it. Yeah.
Came out yesterday, apparently, for Honor.
Right. I think I was
30.
29. I reckon it's better than I thought it would be. And I do want to play it more. I went to go back and play the beta again and it was closed. And I was like, well, fuck, I did want to play it more.
Yeah, right.
The visuals are pretty cool. And it seems like it's got a dynamic, like, hey, here's this bunch of guys, beat them, introduce a new mechanic, like a ranged enemy and beat them. There's like big bosses and stuff. You run around castle walls. So yeah, I reckon it looks cool. I'd be keen to play it. I'd be keen to play it properly and review it. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Nice.
Because I was with you. I didn't find any of the trailers interesting at all. I'm sort of actively off-putting a little bit.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
It looked kind of like slow and like just dodgy. Do you know what I mean? Like it
kind of reminded me of those like iPhone, iPad games where it's just like timed hitting.
Yeah.
And it's dressed up to look like it's a big sword fighting game, but really it's just like you press one button and then dodge and press one button again.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So it is more complex.
Clunky and
cool. All right. Well, sounds like you're positive on it.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
We can, give a bit more of a follow-up later.
Yeah.
Did we want to start getting into a bit of outlandish claims? Outland.
Did we have any other topics for the week? I don't think we did.
I haven't really played anything.
A listener of ours, James, provided us an update on Fire Emblem Heroes.
Oh, yeah, sure. So we were talking about this last week. You and I had both played it a little bit. We didn't hate it, but we also didn't quite get it. We found it very, like, prohibitive if you're not already into the series. Like, it doesn't really give you any kind of idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And so we did the call out, if you're a fan of the series, how does it stack up?
Yes. So James is a fan of the series, and he said he managed to get himself pretty hooked to it. He was surprised at how much of the strategy elements they managed to include from the actual series. But he also said almost none of this is explained clearly without having to dig around the app or look for it online, which is totally what we had the experience of. He said the RPG elements are reserved for the 4 and 5 star characters that you generate randomly, basically. And you do level up your characters and grind away before it becomes complex. But so, yeah, story levels.
I feel like if I'd said the phrase level up and grind away, I would not have gotten away with it.
I think Nox had tuned out by the time I got to that. I'll read the rest of his comment. The story levels end up getting pretty challenging once more of the abilities come into play, until you hit a wall and have to like grind away some more. Nox tuned out again.
Nox is jerking off in the corner. That's why he's not chiming.
Imagine Tommy
in.
At E3. I'm looking up other questions.
Yeah, the narrative never really goes beyond beating royalty unconscious until they like you.
That's life, isn't it? Oi, the queen!
Come on! What's wrong with me?
Give me a tax cut.
And so playing through the narrative, quote-unquote, is how you unlock the other game modes.
The narrative, quote-unquote, made me so wet.
And he's been playing it without having paid anything, done any pay-to-play stuff.
It sounds like this is reinforcing the idea that maybe if you were into the other Fire Emblem games, this is way more appealing.
Yes. That's what a lot of that's kind of echoing the sentiment that a few people sent us, and thanks to everyone who did after our call out last week. Yeah. That you know, if you're a fan, it is a very much scaled down version of it for mobile. It's obviously lacking in as many features, but that's fine. I think it's basically meant for you love this series and you just want to be able to play it in short little bursts.
Yeah.
That being said, the series is mostly already out on a handheld anyway.
Yeah.
So why does it matter?
Yeah. Finally, it's portable. Yeah. And it's cool how with Mario they completely changed it and made it a different thing to accommodate what it was on, and they haven't seemed to put the effort in to do that with this.
No, like he did say he was surprised at what elements they could include from the handheld versions, but like that's not a glowing review.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there were some gameplay features.
Yeah.
I got a couple of just little quick questions. If that they aren't really grievances or whatever the fuck we're doing at the moment. What are we doing? Some sort
outlandish,
of
outrageous claims.
I don't listen to the podcast, but Vincent asked what our favorite who our video game Valentine would be. It's Valentine's Day. I wonder if you had any video game character who would be your Valentine.
I'm going to go back to a discussion from an episode many moons ago. Wapeach.
Wapeach, yeah.
I thought you were going to say you want to fuck a Battletoad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
I've forgotten we used to say that.
Yeah. I'm swimming in options, aren't I? Wapeach, which was a Michael Hing creation.
Yes.
Of the evil in the way that Wario is evil Mario. We want Wapeach, an evil Peach.
Yeah.
Just a dirty girl. Now that's a booth babe I could get behind.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Lara Croft. Bops.
Norks.
I think I talked about someone followed up on this the other day and messaged me to say, or messaged our page to say, I think I said at the time I was gonna draw Wapeach.
Oh yeah.
And I have not yet, but I'll reveal it at the live show that we're doing.
Oh, great.
Which, good time to plug that. April the 22nd, Saturday, during the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, 4 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe. You can find ticket links on our social media.
Yeah.
Facebook, Twitter.
Thinking this before you guys turned up, I just, you know, I have a sitting chair and I sit and I think in the sitting chair.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that we should create some pre-order bonuses for people who order tickets.
It's not bad.
Now. I reckon that's
the live show basically is all day one DLC.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to answer the question, my video game character Valentine, I reckon, would be Mario, and then it would go really well, and we'd end up getting married, and then I could ask, "What if Mario real wife?"
Nice.
Oh. Hey everyone, time for me to go. Fly away.
I wanted to ask or bring this up for discussion.
No, answer the question. Who would you?
I said Tomb Raider.
Oh,
she's got
okay.
big bobs.
Great, awesome bobs.
So Savidra on Facebook said he just bought his first Xbox and TV a couple of months ago. He lives with
and TV.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. He lives with, in his words, my girl. No judgment there.
My girl.
So I feel like I can never play because she
has been stung by bees.
Anyway, question answered. Thanks, guys.
No, why does her face look like this? Well, I reckon I know the reason for this.
It's Wapeach. Oh, he feels like he can't play games because his girlfriend doesn't approve.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't approve.
Well, basically that's what he's implying. That she doesn't like it. She maybe judges him for it. Has video games ever affected any of your relationships before?
Does she judge him for it or get bored when he's doing it and she wants to do something else?
He does not go into that detail.
Call him.
I'd love it if his version of this is just him watching porno on VR. Yeah. The bloody miso doesn't let me engage in my hobbies.
Well, even just playing Dead or Alive volleyball constantly.
With his dick out.
I'm trying to play dating your best friend over here. I'm about to fuck her behind your back and now there's no save point.
You don't hear me crack the shits when you're watching Better Homes and Gardens. How about a little respect for my hobbies? It's interesting that he, because I have definitely been in that situation. Like my ex was just not into it in any way and kind of like I just never felt comfortable. Like the thing is I don't like I never want to be like a boyfriend that's just like plays games nonstop and is kind of oblivious to what's going on around me.
Hey, can you You making a coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I never wanted to, because we lived with a couple who the guy in the couple was like that. Like, yeah, he just would play. Like, I just, to be polite one day, was like, oh, hey, man, like, if you ever want to, feel free to just, like, play the PlayStation or whatever. I don't mind. Which, big mistake. He really...
opened the floodgates.
He took that and ran with it. Yeah. Like, but we would be just around the house and she would be just, like, you know, doing uni work or whatever, and I would just be in the other room going, okay, I might. And she would just walk in the room and go, I don't get why you're doing that. That's dumb.
Yeah.
And so I just felt, like, judged and, like, I... like, it was never a super overt thing of like, don't do that, but it just made me, it was kind of such a bummer that I couldn't engage in this hobby that I really liked. Anyway, then we broke up and now I'm much happier. So that's my advice to this guy. No, I get it, because it's such a fine line between, you can't make someone, I think the ideal is if your partner isn't into games, they're kind of happy to sit there and like watch you play, and they find something in that of like, oh, this is cool, like this bit and this bit. But you can't, I mean, you can't force someone to get that out of it. So if they totally don't like it, then it is just you doing something that totally excludes them.
It's as if they don't like it and they have no engagement with video games, it's as if you're sitting there drawing on a piece of paper. They can't really engage with that.
Yes, yes.
There are things that you can, because I've never dated a girl who I've never dated a girl who's been like into video games in any way.
Right.
Yeah.
But The Last of Us especially is something I played through with an ex watching, and because it's engaging in a narrative way, you can have that thing. So you got it, like, if you want it to be something you can share at some point, which I'm assuming this guy does if he's asking the question.
Mm. I think in 2017 it's easier than ever to have someone who's not necessarily into games but can watch you. Like, you know, we have games like Last of Us and Uncharted, which are almost just like movies where it's just fun to watch someone else play.
And there's heaps of shit that's easy to get into really quick, like Overcooked or whatever, that you can maybe go like, but there are plenty of people who like, I'm never going to be interested in this, and that's also fine. And you've just got to find the balance between like, okay, well, if we're together, I'm not going to fucking spend 3 hours of their time.
Yeah, but it's also on the person to not make you feel like shit for just having an interest
absolutely
that they don't get, because that's not your fault that they don't, that they're not into it.
No, like, definitely. But if you're with someone, then you spend time with them, you know? And if they feel as though you're treating this other thing over them, I also think that's a shitty thing to do, you know?
Yeah, oh, totally. Big time, big time. Yeah.
You sneak out in the middle of the night into your man cave and you bloody play a couple of your bloody Star Wars or whatever you're doing down there.
Yeah. But,
are you cheating on me?
I guess our point is with this guy, like, it's hard to sort of say what the answer is without knowing a bit more about the dynamics of the relationship. Yeah. So look, send us a video of you guys fucking at least 45 minutes. If you have to like make a super cut and string a few together, then that's fine. We'll watch it. We'll examine it together.
Yeah.
And then we'll be able to come back next week and give you a proper analysis.
Oh, what you need to do, you know, with the Kim Kardashian sex tape, how they intercut it with them just on holidays. You need to show us you fucking and then you playing video games with her watching disapprovingly. We need to see the whole range of
we
dynamics.
We need this.
I think
not listen to the show anymore unless you're going to send us this content.
I just want to really quickly say, definitely don't do that. I really, really don't want you to do that.
Who's right? Who can say?
That's why this show is so good, because we all have different opinions.
But I do want to say, like, I have been in exactly the same position as you were, Tommy, where...
Doggy style.
And thank you for sending me the video. But dating people who don't really get it and don't care to get it.
Yes,
And now I'm with someone who... Also, with, I've spoken
about... Oh, you're
about
with someone now who's like the biggest nerd that there ever was.
But like...
And your wedding, it's going to be like, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? No, I dropped my glasses.
Yeah. Do you mind us saying her name on the air?
Her first name, fine.
Poindexter.
Oh, no. Yeah, Steve Urkel.
Her first name is Steve Urkel. Her parents loved Family Matters.
She's got great style, your girlfriend. I love her collection of zany bow ties. The braces really work for her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Both the pants braces and the teeth braces.
Yep. She's really hot.
She's going to fucking hate this.
Yep.
This is so good.
Yep. Because she's... like alerted me to that guy's question, because obviously she, you know, has an interest in that as well.
Yeah. Well, she's like, always on the internet because she's a fucking nerd. Yeah. No, I get it.
I'll definitely talk about it on the show. So you should listen, babe. You know, that might be interesting.
Hey, we're making a bit of money from this podcast now with Loot Crate. We should start employing her to be our webmaster.
Just do all the sums, do all the taxes,
all the back end stuff.
Yeah, yeah. She's really good at coding. It's all she's into, really. Oh, and she's got, like, she likes chemistry. She's got a little chemistry lab.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
yeah,
let me ask you this, and I'm sorry if this is too personal.
Yeah.
How many Bunsen burners does she own? This is the worst. okay, so, yeah, sorry we can't give you more.
Oh, because it's always
but
different.
It's a balance. It's a balancing act, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had one outlandish claim here. That I wanted to get to because this piqued my interest. Mm. A young man wrote to us and said, you wanted outrageous opinions. Here's mine. Donkey Kong 64 is, objectively speaking, without a doubt, the best game of the last 20 years.
Mm.
The worlds are all amazing. The graphics are better than anything we have seen since.
I don't know.
So good, it required another piece of hardware to make it work better. Collecting all of the things was a great way of prolonging the brilliance, and I truly believe it is the best game Nintendo and Rare have brought out, better than any other game of the sort. Now, to say that it's better than it looks better than anything we've seen.
Let's give them the benefit of the doubt, and they assume they mean in the context of the time, right?
But I think saying better than anything we've seen since is a pretty black and white statement.
Yeah.
There's
much room for interpretation.
No, when he said Muslim ban, he meant he was talking about.
It's a travel ban.
Yeah. It was a metaphorical best game looking ever. So I don't know, man.
I tried to replay it recently. Mm-hmm. I downloaded it on the Virtual Console. I remember liking the game a lot at the time.
Yeah.
And it's almost unplayable.
Really?
Like, the way that, like, 64 games, the control scheme has kind of been mapped onto a joystick that is, like, more advanced and more sensitive.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, instead of having this really fluid 360-degree movement, it feels like you just kind of have, like, 16 points.
Oh, yeah, right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm so used to now, like, being able to control very fluidly, and I just found it so, like, so there's
jerky
a training
and
level that you do that I remember clearing in about 2 minutes when I played it on the 64.
Yep.
And it took me, like, half an hour because I kept, like, you have to be so precise, and I just kept, like, holding up to climb up a thing, but it's, like, going the wrong way.
Yeah,
and
right.
Yeah, and I did love the game at the time. There was so much in it.
I didn't have a 64, but I remember playing it a lot at a friend's house. And really, really getting into it.
It was pretty huge, but for me, I just don't think it did. I remember it copping a bit of flack at the time because it was, like, the third one in a row that Rare had made of that style. It met Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, and then they finally bring out a 3D Donkey Kong, but they just basically made a Banjo-Kazooie game.
Yeah.
That would have come out before Banjo-Tooie.
Pardon?
And, like, I remember with that, it was, like, it felt so artificially huge.
Yeah.
In that you had to go through as each of the five things through all the same levels again.
Yeah.
To pick up these, like, arbitrary bananas that are just sort of sitting around. And not that most bananas have a point to them. Most of them are arbitrary.
Most of them are sitting around or hanging around.
Yeah.
Hey, man, good on you. But it's one of those. It was just like, it was so bloated.
That's the thing
with
I
stuff
didn't
that
like.
Wasn't particularly fun to do.
That's the thing I didn't like about it at the time was the switching characters. I found it way more satisfying in Banjo-Kazooie where you're just Banjo heading off on a little adventure.
Yeah.
And this whole thing of unlocking the other characters.
Felt like a fucking hassle.
And also like the thing of, oh cool, it's a 3D Donkey Kong game, and then they just, it's like five characters, three of whom you've never seen before.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like they just introduce all these new characters and kind of expect you to care about them.
Well,
and it says a lot about that we've never seen any of them since.
They introduced them
with a rap,
with a very good rap.
Yes.
How could you not care about them after that?
Yeah, all that stuff. I just kind of much rather would have seen like a 3D Donkey Kong Country where you're roaming around the jungle, and that's kind of what I wanted out of that game. I still loved it because I loved games of that kind of the the like unlocking a new world and going into it, I always felt was like such a cool experience where you don't, you know what I mean? Like you've just found everything in the world before it, so you kind of know it back to front, and then you go into this new bit where you're like, fuck, I don't know, oh, what's that over there? And I'll see if I can get up this bit. And
it's that very Assassin's Creed-y type of thing these days, though, where you're just like going and ticking off this huge long list of boring things that you need to go do, you know?
Yeah.
Which isn't like... It was because it's kind of copying the Mario 64 thing of like there's six things to do in every level or seven things. And each one of those things in Mario, even though it was happening in the same place, was specifically made to make you do a different task.
Yes.
Whereas in Donkey Kong, I remember it feeling like it was doing the same task over and over and over. Yeah. And then occasionally like some kind of pretty badly made little part, like little mini game or something that was always a little crappy.
Well, Rare had kind of been pushing that more and more and more with each progressive game that they'd made.
Mm.
And I remember people at the time going, like, it looks, Donkey Kong 64 looks great, it's really big, there's lots to do, but this is the kind of the rod snapping of collector
thon
games.
And it's big for the sake of big, it's not particularly well, it's the Hobbit to Banjo-Kazooie's Lord of the Rings, you know what I mean?
And like, it was the last kind of collectathon game. Yeah. It really did kind of break the genre. And I'm very interested.
Well, and then they even parodied that by making Conker's Bad Fur Day afterwards.
Yes, yes.
Which was like, okay, we get it. We went too
very
far.
Very linear, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to, I'm fascinated by Ukulele just for the pure nostalgia hit of it. And I'm interested to see if they have just gone straight up like mirrored the kind of layout of those games or how much of an eye they're keeping on. It's 2017, that, you know what I mean? That format very much did get worn out.
There's a massive chance that won't be fun to play at all as well. Because platformers moved on to being about sort of more shooting and stuff like Jack and Daxter or Ratchet and Clank or whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
I have faith though. I'm very excited for that game. I think
I'm looking forward to that as well.
Mainly just for the thing of like, how much does nostalgia just get away with versus it just being
totally. And you're going to get that on the Switch.
Well, here's the thing. Like, they've said now that it's coming out on Switch, but they don't have a date for it.
Oh, fuck.
Which
okay.
they need to get it out on the Switch pretty close to the other ones, because I'll get it on the Switch because I'd prefer to play it portable.
But if it's 2 months later.
But if it's going to take too long, I just want to play it. So I'll just cave and get it on the PS4.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me see. Do we have another...
I think we're kind of out of time.
Do we have another big claim? Or we can say, I mean, we've still got stuff here. We can save them. Maybe we should call it there. Guys, thank you. We have been reading and loving. We'll spend some more time getting into the outrageous claims. This is a very fun new format of the show, I'm finding. When a doozy comes through on the email, we all get in the group chat and we light up.
It's
very good. So email us. Oh, and by the way, if you don't want us to read it out or whatever or say your name, let us know in the email. You can just hit us up and we don't have to read out stuff that you've sent to us.
Yep.
But maybe worth just making a point. If you don't want your thing read out, that's totally fine. Just make sure you let us know.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're just assuming everything we get is...
I just read one that I agree with every outrageous claim on.
Yeah.
And I think we'll save it for next week.
Okay.
Because we're out of time.
Yeah.
Okay, so check out all the socials, Ben.
At FilthyCastPod on Twitter, FilthyCasuals on Facebook. Send your outrageous claims to filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com.
Yeah, email's the best way to send them through.
Yeah.
I've seen...
If you want to donate, paypal.me/filthypod. And our tickets are at tinyurl.com/filthycasualslive.
Great.
And I've seen a couple of questions about this, the Planet Broadcasting stuff. We'll talk more about that in the future, I guess.
Well, I mean, just briefly, it's a podcast network.
Mm. Yeah,
so we'll probably guest on each other's shows a bit more. We'll probably get some sponsorship that'll allow us to do some extra content, stuff like that. There'll be live shows and all that kind of stuff. So
potentially going to E3 is easier with this sort of like a bigger group behind you.
Yes.
Sort
of
thing.
Yeah.
And they're doing a big launch thing on the March the 25th.
Which I think
they just released some extra tickets to, right?
Yeah.
For just the panel thing, I think we're doing something on.
Yes, I think so.
I don't know necessarily.
We're listed as doing something. We have not been communicated with about that at all.
Yeah.
But we'll be there doing something
and
hanging out afterwards. It'd be great to meet some of you guys because, really the only time we meet, and that's the same with us doing the live show at the Comedy Festival, really the only time I've met people from this show is when they've happened to be at a gig that I'm at.
Yes.
And our Comedy Festival shows are all on sale now too.
Yeah.
If you go to comedyfestival.com.au, you can find my solo stand-up show, Dinner for Two. You can find Adam Knox in It's Adam and Eve, Not Adam Knox. And Chimp Cop Forever, which is the sketch group that the two of you are in and which I personally despise. So, yeah, come. A few people have hit us up actually to let us know that they've got tickets to all three of those things, plus the live show. So that's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, yeah, let us know if you're coming along to that. That's always nice to know.
If they've said they've bought tickets to my show, they're lying.
Guys, thanks so much for listening. And as we say at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Ben, I'm your girlfriend, boy.
Yuck, Ben.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.